Welcome to the Rewilded Human Podcast, where Dr. Lucille and Lynn will tackle your most difficult and intimate questions with candor, tough love, and a little dash of humor. In today's episode,
the love doesn't have to fade. It's up to you to keep that love alive if that is important to you. If you have a friend, it's up to you to keep that friendship alive if that person and that friendship is important to you. So love is no different than a really good friendship. And I always say to people, and I've said this on this podcast many times, treat your lover, your husband, your boyfriend, your wife as you would your best friend. Hello, guys, and welcome to episode 21 of the Rewilded Human Podcast. I am back with Dr. Lucille to answer your most intimate questions. We're going to have some interesting ones this episode. We're going to jump right in with Joan, who is having in-law issues. Haven't we all had those? So Joan says, my husband and I recently moved in with his parents to save money for a house. Initially, it seemed like a great idea, but it's turning out to be more challenging than I anticipated. His parents have different routines and expectations, and I often feel like I'm walking on eggshells. I love them, but I'm struggling to find privacy and establish boundaries without offending them. How do I keep the peace and not drive myself crazy?
Oh, that's a tough one, Joan. I really empathize with you because I can't imagine that. I never had to go. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. I've had a similar experience where as a young adult, I went back home to live with my parents to save up for a house of my own, just like you did.
How was that?
Horrible. It was just a horror. So I do actually understand what you're living through, Joan. You know, it really depends on how open-minded and empathic your in-laws are. And I get from your question that maybe they're not. Maybe they don't think through things like, well, is everybody here feeling like they're comfortable? Do we need to talk about certain issues? Are we all getting the privacy that we need here? They're probably not even thinking about that. They're probably just going about their lives as if you hadn't moved in, right? And they're not even thinking that it might be challenging for you. And that's a really hard one to try to explain to them that, you know, perhaps you have different needs for privacy than they do. You know, they may think that you and your husband are just grown-up children.
Yeah, probably that's the case. Yeah.
They're in their house, right?
Yeah.
So how to negotiate adult needs in that situation is very, very challenging. Now, I get the sense also that your husband, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe your husband is not quite where you're at with this. He may not have the same need for privacy, or maybe he doesn't see it as an issue.
Yeah, but it's his parents, so he would probably see it differently, right?
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right, Lynn. One thing that I would suggest is the first place to start is to talk to your husband and just start explaining to him why, if you haven't already done so, why this is not working for you. And hopefully your husband at least is empathic and will understand, even if he's not on the same page with you, because he knows his parents better. And maybe the two of you can then craft a kind of way to negotiate with them. And if the two of you are able to do that with them, it's much better than if you're trying to tackle it alone, because it's kind of like you versus them. You're the newcomer to the tribe, and they're all arrayed against you, doing their own thing and having no idea why you're having a problem.
So,
I don't know if any of that really is relevant to you, Joan, but you can certainly leave a comment and clarify and ask further questions. I mean, that's really about the only thing that I can offer. Lynn, have you ever been in that situation yourself?
I've never lived with my in-laws, no. But I mean, I've had situations where, during the pandemic, my son moved back with us with his girlfriend. So they were living with us. So I can give you the other perspective. So basically, you know, if you're living with your in-laws and you're not paying rent, then, you know, I'm not saying you need to be walking on eggshells, but, you know, it's their home and you're coming into their home and you're staying there for free, probably eating for free. Maybe they're cooking for you, cleaning for you, as most mother-in-laws would probably do. So, you know, they're also inconvenienced. So try to look at it from their perspective as well, because it's not easy for them either, because now they have, you know, this kind of stranger in their environment that they're used to. And they have this relationship with their son, which is quite normal. And then now you have another person there. So they're probably walking on eggshells as well and maybe feeling a little bit uncomfortable. Hopefully you have your own space. Maybe they have like a guest apartment or something. Hopefully you have your own bathroom so that you can have your own space. But really the only thing you can do is suck it up, buttercup. You know, if you need to save money and you're living there for free, then I don't know. I'm not saying you shouldn't be complaining, but you know, you're the one that needs to adapt your life to theirs. They're not the ones that need to change to make you feel more comfortable. That's just kind of my opinion. As harsh as that sounds, but being on this side, you know, if my son's girlfriend was the one, oh, I feel uncomfortable, I don't have enough privacy. Well, then, you know, there's the door, right? So, you know what I mean? So it's my house. I'm going to make myself comfortable. I'm not going to make myself uncomfortable to make you feel more uncomfortable, especially if we're talking about months or years of living together.
Yeah, and let's hope that it's a very short-term arrangement here. And you get up the money that you need for your house very quickly.
Exactly. And hopefully, you know, later on when the mother-in-law is older and sick or whatever, you will repay the favor and take her in and help her out when needed. Right. You know, remember this time. And just, you know, just, I think people just make drama out of things that are not necessarily so complicated. So if you need to be there, then try to be as helpful as possible. Try to, you know, have your own privacy. I'm sure you have your own room, but hopefully you have your own space. And just everybody do their own thing and wait it out. What else can you do? Sorry, okay. I know I was a bit harsh, but sometimes, you know.
Well, you know, we need all the perspectives, right? Yeah. And I'm wondering if you really did do all the cleaning and the cooking and everything else to take care of them. Is that what you did, Lynn?
You know, we had some help, but I mean, it was like having two kids back in the house.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. You know, I didn't get a lot of help from them to put it.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're offering such great service, you know, this is like a 5-star hotel. Then
exactly.
I don't think that guests do have a right or entitlement to complain too much.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, it really depends on the situation. I mean, we don't know your situation, Joan. So,
yeah,
if you want to clarify, we're happy to do that. And like I said, we're just giving you two different perspectives. I'm giving you the mother-in-law's perspective because maybe sometimes we don't look at the other side. We only look at things.
Yeah.
Our side and how much we are suffering and how hard our life is. But, you know, if this is giving you a chance to save up to buy a house in the future, then what a fantastic opportunity and how nice that they were able to take you in. And they're giving you guys this option for your future. So be grateful and thank them.
Yeah. Okay. So Dawn, our very, very hardcore fan.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Dawn. Dawn is back.
Dawn is back.
For more love-related questions. So with 50% of first marriages ending up in divorce and 67% of second marriages ending up in divorce, what can you say about love? Has it been lost in time? Maybe we are loving things more than each other. Would you like to take a first stab at that, Lynn?
Yeah, he also said, curious about what you two have to say if love between people is fading.
Fading, okay.
Yeah,
yes,
that was on the next page.
It's on another page. Okay.
Ooh, love, love, love. And you're throwing it at me right now. Okay, let's see.
I am throwing it at you, yes.
Yeah. So that's very high rates of divorce. I wonder what the divorce rate for third marriage is. Which is, I'm the third wife, so that's, and
I am the third
wife, but still here after, we're going to have our 29th wedding anniversary this week, not 29, sorry, we're together 29 years, 27 years married, 27 years, so yeah.
Congratulations, that's great. Yeah.
Thank you, I deserve a medal, definitely deserve a medal.
You do.
I do. So I think people do often, value things, you know, things and their screen time or their phones and different relationships more than their love relationships. I think finding love is definitely a lot more difficult, and especially staying in love and choosing to stay in love is much more difficult. I always say that love is a choice. You know, it's a choice that you make every day when you wake up that you're going to love this person. It's not just a given that, okay, I married this person and now I have to love him for the rest of my life. It doesn't really work like that. You have to consciously make that choice to love that person, to look for the good in that person, to value the good, and to, you know, not concentrate on all the bad qualities that drive you crazy. But I mean, the trick to this is to finding the right person that is right for you. Because I think once you have the right chemistry with the right person, things just kind of still takes a lot of work, but it's not the same as when you have the wrong person and you try to make it work. That's impossible. And you know, Lucy, like even with friendships, you can have one friend that just gets under your skin no matter what they do. And then another one where it's just, everything just flows and it's just easygoing. And then, you know, that person that you have the easygoing relationship with might say something that would drive you crazy if the other person said it, but because this person is so sweet and loving and you're on the same wavelength, those things just don't bother you. So Dawn, the trick is to find someone that you can tolerate, and especially that she can tolerate you back, you know? This is really important. It's true though, right?
It's good for you. And yes, yeah.
Yeah. So once you guys are on the same wavelength and you love and respect each other, and then you put in the work, you know, and you keep the love alive and you make a conscious choice to put each other first and spend a lot of quality time together, getting to know each other, building a future together. And about what you say, people, love between people is fading. When, again, the love doesn't have to fade. It's up to you to keep that love alive if that is important to you. If you have a friend, it's up to you to keep that friendship alive if that person and that friendship is important to you. So love is no different than a really good friendship. And I always say to people, and I've said this on this podcast many times, treat your lover, your husband, your boyfriend, your wife as you would your best friend. You know, and then you can't go wrong. You know, you don't nag your best friend. You don't tell them off. You don't treat them horribly. You don't belittle them, because then they wouldn't be friends with you. So give the same respect to the person you love, and then everything else will fall into place. Lucille?
I think they're very, your words are very wise. I agree with them like 100%. I would just add too that it's not all just about finding the partner who's right for you, but also about being the person who is going to attract the best relationship, right? Because, you know, we come into relationships with our baggage. And we always have to be mindful of our baggage. It's not just that you're finding fault with your partner. It's about, well, where am I falling short? I mean, you're always looking at that, I think.
Yes.
I put out a post recently on Instagram where it was about, you know, which position are you coming from in your relationship? Is it from ego or is it truly from love?
Yeah.
Okay. And the two are very different. And the vast majority of times when people's relationships fall on the rocks, it's because they're coming from a place of ego. It's all about them. It's all about their assumptions, their needs, what, you know, proving themselves right and the other person wrong. And oh my goodness. And of course, if you're going to be like that, the relationship will fall on the rocks, guaranteed, at some point. So a lot of it has to do with how are you up-leveling yourself as a human being so that you can become the most loving, most respectful, most conscious partner that you can be.
100%.
I have so many couples like who they are like attacking. They are either in attack mode or in defense mode almost constantly. And it's very difficult for them to look outside themselves and realize that their view of their partner is totally unrealistic. You know, the people who go into a relationship, oh, I love this person. And all of a sudden, this person has to be the sun, moon, and stars to them. And if they fall short, oh my God, what happened? This isn't the person that I fell in love with.
Yeah.
Well, of course not, because We've all got our limitations,
of
right?
Of course.
It's not about expecting that the other person is going to meet all of your needs perfectly. It's about the hard, as Lynn said, the hard work. And that's where people falter, is they don't realize the hard work is about you work on yourself and the two of you work together to understand one another and understand your differences and learn how can you work with them? How can you work with your differences? How can you enhance your life through the differences? Because truthfully, if you do that, what happens is you are, then the possibility is for the relationship to grow in love. You can develop a deeper, more solid love mm-hmm. if the two of you are really willing to work on it and change yourselves in the way that you need to Absolutely. To create that beautiful, beautiful relationship. So I wouldn't just go by the statistics, Dawn. I would say go past those statistics and really learn the secrets to how to have a very loving and successful relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, Lucille, completely. And that's such a good point. When I met my husband before him, I was in a very toxic relationship for 8 years. And if I didn't do the work on myself after the relationship ended, and I did so much soul searching and self-help books, and I mean, I did so much work on myself to change myself completely to attract the kind of person that I have now. So if I didn't do that work, I would be in the next toxic relationship and the next one and
I would have gone
back to that one. So, you know, that is such a good point, and that should never be overlooked, that you need to be in the right headset. You need to be in the right place. And I think, Dawn, you're really moving in that direction with, you know, working on yourself also physically and everything with the exercise, with the right foods and everything else that's going to go a long way. But, you know, until you're in the right mindset, you don't want to be attracting the wrong person with the codependency or, you know what I mean? People that have also emotional baggage and when two talks, you know, emotionally unstable people get together, then you see it, Lucia, you see what happens. It's very, very difficult. So once you've done the work on yourself, Dawn, don't worry about the statistics and don't be desperate. You know, don't get to the point where, okay, now I'm ready to find the right woman and okay, I'm ready, where is she? Because women run from that, you know. Once you're there and you say, okay, I've done the work on myself, I'm ready to attract the right woman, then just let her come, you know. And it's not going to be one of those women on Instagram with their, you know, boobs hanging out and, you know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be one of those. I'm just telling you. Spoiler alert, right? So you need to find a nice woman that aligns with your values and understands you and wants to have a beautiful life with you. And we wish you nothing but the best, Dawn. And, you know, keep sending us those questions. We love getting them from you.
Yeah, they're great questions, Dawn.
Yeah, they're really great questions. So we're moving on to the next one. Okay, we have Annie, who is haunted by an ex. I'm facing a dilemma with my ex-boyfriend. We broke up a year ago, but remained friends. Recently, he's been reaching out more often, and it feels like they want to rekindle our relationship. I value our past and friendship we've maintained, but I'm unsure about reopening a romantic chapter. There was a lot of abuse and cheating. How should I approach this situation? Should I consider giving our relationship another try or maintain the friendship without complicating things? Annie, run. abuse and cheating. You know, I don't even know why you would stay friends with someone like that. That's just,
yeah, that's a good question. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of abuse or what kind of cheating, but I mean, I would, that's not the kind of friend that I would want to have. So I think something's already wrong with the fact that you guys are still good friends or in each other's lives, because if somebody would hurt me to that degree, I definitely would not want to be either friends or acquaintances or anything. But the fact that you're even thinking of going back to someone like that, Lucille, can you go back to someone like that and actually have a normal relationship?
Well, I agree thoroughly with everything you've just said, because, you know, if you're going back to somebody who's been that abusive, what does that say about your own self-esteem? Like, I'm sorry, Annie, but I think that the focus should be much more on your own healing and growth what would draw you back into a relationship with somebody like that? Now, I am assuming that there's no evidence that he's changed.
But can people change, like someone that abuses you and cheats on you? Do those people ever change?
In rare instances, yes, it can happen. But it's rare. People don't usually change when they're heavily into things like that. They really don't, because it works for them. It satisfies some, very, very unconscious need in them to take out rage on another person, to use another person. And it's usually people who've themselves been abused. And they get a real hit of dopamine, a real sense of triumph when they have abused another person. Now, they may afterwards come back and feel all guilty and whatever, but it's almost like an addiction for some of these people that, you know, they have to get into relationships where they need to keep elevating themselves by abusing another person.
And they will always look for the victim, right? They'll always look for the next victim and the next victim.
The next victim, that's right. That's like, it's like they're a predator.
Yeah. And maybe in Annie's past, there was also some kind of abuse.
Absolutely.
Like why she would put up with this, the familiarity of the whole situation. And
right. And that's why I'm really questioning your own self-esteem, Annie, because it's not just about, well, he's coming back, what should I do? It's about, oh my God, what have I already endured with this person? What have I learned? Am I taking the best care I can of myself? What evidence do I have that this person would actually treat me with respect and love? There are a lot more questions that you have to answer for yourself. And I would say one place to really start is to look at yourself and why you keep being drawn back into a relationship with an abuser like this.
Yeah. Perhaps if you have the opportunity to go see a therapist and to speak to someone, because this is not something that we can, you know, solve for you in like 5 minutes. But I think I'm sure that you have some issues that you need to deal with and get to the bottom of it. Like why you would put up with this, or why you would want someone like this back in your life. Like, why do you think your self-worth is so low that this is all that you deserve? When there are men out there that will treat you with respect, with the love that you deserve, and not abuse you and cheat on you, I mean, there's absolutely no excuse for that. And you're not saying if it's, you know, verbal abuse, emotional abuse, or physical abuse, but it doesn't matter. You know, it's nobody should be abused in any way. And those things progress. You know, sometimes it starts with verbal abuse, and then next thing he's hitting you. So,
right.
No. And get some help, and I think run from this guy.
Yeah, and please feel free to leave us a comment or further questions or even give us an update.
Yeah, absolutely.
We really do support you in getting to a much, much better place in your own life so that you're never involved with people like this.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Good luck to you, Annie. Best of luck.
Yeah, good luck. All right. Well, we're on to Melody, who is worried about her health. I've recently started experiencing frequent headaches and fatigue, which are affecting my daily activities. I try to maintain a balanced diet and exercise regularly, but these symptoms persist. I'm worried about what could be causing this and how to address it. Could these symptoms be signs of an underlying health issue? And should I seek medical advice? What lifestyle changes or home remedies could I try in the meantime to alleviate these symptoms? Okay, thank you very much for this question, Melody.
Thank you so much.
Yes, it's a good question because I think people can go along and along, as you know, Lynn, in their lives, and they feel everything's pretty okay, and then all of a sudden, boom, they start noticing symptoms. Yeah. So I think that Lynn is really much more equipped to talk about the physical aspects of all of this, but there is just so much, from my standpoint, you know, I work holistically with my clients, and there's so much that you can explore that could be going off balance. And you're always wanting to look for root causes.
Exactly.
So a lot of the time, it's stress, but then stress will exert its force on the weakest parts of your body. And so that's those parts of the body are the ones who are going to start complaining the most first, right? So there are so many areas that you need to explore. Like, you know, are you under more stress, emotional stress right now? For example, something changed in your work life, in your personal life. And the other thing is that no matter how healthy you think your lifestyle is, your diet, your exercise, and all of that, it may still not be right for you. There may be something that you're doing that you think is perfectly healthy because everybody on Instagram is doing it, or, you know, friends are recommending it, or your doctor said you should do it. And then you find out, oops, no, not quite. That's not it. Like I recently, for example, I was, I've been under a lot of stress and I started getting arthritic pains in my finger joints. And I thought, this is very strange. Where's this coming from? And I knew it was stress. I knew that part of it was lack of sleep. But the other thing that I didn't realize is I was eating something that was not right for me. You know, it was a foodstuff. It was dairy, and it was a particular form of dairy that was highly recognized as very healthy for all your tissues. And I realized, no, I've got a sensitivity to that. Mm-hmm. And so I stopped consuming it, and all the arthritic pains, they've almost vanished now. So, you know, keep that in mind that even though you think what you're doing may be healthy for you, it may not be right for you.
And this is such a good point to see, because somebody would go with arthritis to the doctor and be put on all these different medications and steroids and everything. And it's just an issue of eliminating something that you're eating. And this, you know, it happens a lot also with gluten, with arthritis. So, you know, it's so important to find the cause of what's ailing you. Absolutely. Sorry, please go on.
Yeah, no. And the only thing I would suggest is maybe first you do a deep reflection on your own life. If something has changed, perhaps more stress, if there is something that's just been an ongoing stress and you haven't dealt with it, because that can also bring on symptoms.
Yeah.
And take a look at your lifestyle. Take a look at your diet and your exercise and just ask yourself, does it feel right for me? Again, listen to your body. Lynn is a great proponent of that. And I agree. Listen to your body. Sometimes if you really listen to it, it will tell you what is something that it's not tolerating very well. So, you know, and I can't tell you, I don't know, I have no idea what it is. But once you've done that kind of inventory on yourself, then either you know what it is and you can rectify it yourself, or you may need to find a good healthcare practitioner, like maybe a naturopath or a functional medicine specialist, who can do a series of investigations. And they're usually much more thorough than your regular family doctor. But I'm not saying don't go to your family doctor. Absolutely. Go to your family doctor if you feel that will help you. And put on your investigator's cap and really go for it and find what the root causes may be, rather than just being given, as Lynn said, just being given prescriptions to ease up the symptoms.
Yeah, absolutely. No, those are such great. I don't even know what to add to that, Lucille. But if you're doing a bit of an investigation, then it's, you know, let's talk about diet first, because that's super important. And we'll talk about the environment next. But, you know, as far as diet, you can do an elimination diet and see what happens, you know, by reintroducing food. You can start, if you watch our previous episode, episode 20, we talk about fasting. So, for example, if you wanted to do a couple of days of fasting and then kind of reset your body and try reintroducing foods one at a time, you know, like sometimes I'll have people do like a 30-day meat diet, nothing else but meat for 30 days. And then they introduce eggs next. Eat eggs and meat for the next 2 weeks, and then introduce dairy and see what happens, because you need to have these things out of your body and then to reintroduce them to see the effects. Same with caffeine. You know, if once you stop drinking coffee, you'll be feeling great eventually after the, you know, the detox symptoms. But then afterwards, if when you reintroduce it, then you see how it really affects your body. So it can be the same with food. So if you start eliminating different things from your diet and then reintroducing them to see what happens and see if that helps with the headache. Now, also, you know, make sure you're getting enough salt. Sometimes people are very scared of salt, but it can be really important. And, you know, to make sure you have the electrolyte balance in your body, magnesium can also help. Another thing to think about as far as environment goes, you know, you will not believe how many people have like their Wi-Fi router next to their heads where they're sleeping, or have their cell phones next to their head when they're sleeping, and all the Wi-Fi radiation and everything. So there could be all of these things, all these different frequencies that could be affecting your health and definitely cause headaches, cause dehydration. And you could be drinking all this water and you're still dehydrated because of these frequencies around you and lack of salt. So, you know, all of those things can definitely produce massive headaches and frequent headaches. So look at your environment, look at your diet, make some changes, get outside as much as you can, you know, catch as many sunsets and sunrises as you can, get some sun on your body, you know, without sunscreen on as much of your body as you can, ground yourself. If you can, go outside, take your shoes off, put your feet in the wet grass. I mean, it sounds silly, but it's just crazy how effective it is. Like when they've done, I don't know if you've seen these, Lucille, you know, you're on your cell phone, and they can show that field, the radiation field around you, how it affects you. But when you're grounded, then all of a sudden you're protected from this. It's absolutely amazing. So you can also look into devices that can protect you from EMF in your body or in your home, non-native EMF. They have these wearable devices. You have like the Somavedic that protects your whole house. So there are things that you can do. Lucille also talks a lot about frequencies. And she has the Healy frequency device, which can help with different conditions. So we really think that a holistic approach would be best. And if these things don't work for you, then definitely, like Lucille said, you know, seek out a holistic physician or a naturopath, someone that can get to the root of the cause and, you know, help you investigate a little bit further.
Right. Okay? So I think there's a very simple formula that I always remind myself of, and that is if you're out of balance, it's because something's entering you that's toxic to you, or you're deficient in something that you need. So it's one of those two things or both, right? That you're either taking in something that's bad for you, or you're not taking in something that you need, or both.
And often when you take something that's bad for you, that can cause a deficiency in something else.
Absolutely.
That can definitely happen.
So we hope that you get back into the pink of health soon, Melody, and that you're not troubled with these symptoms for very much longer. But thank you so much for this question, because I think a lot of people relate to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, guys. That brings us to the end of episode 21. And you want to tune in for episode 22, where we'll be talking about open marriages. Very hot topic today.
Very hot topic.
Thank you, guys, for listening to us. Please share this with your friends and like and subscribe. That helps us so much. And keep sending us your questions, because we love hearing from you. And wishing you guys all the best. Take care.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Please be aware that Lynn and I are here to provide insights, advice, stories that are for educational and entertainment purposes only. None of our content should be considered to be personal, medical, or mental health therapy. If you are experiencing a mental health or physical health challenge, please consult the appropriate healthcare specialist. We are here to provide the best possible content in an atmosphere of positive conversation and personal growth.